not only exciting that Brother Weber's going to Shawano, starting a new church, but it really represents, to me, represents another, a new generation, a young generation that wants to walk in the old paths and teach and stand for the old truths and old-fashioned godliness, old-fashioned Christianity. And that to me is exciting. And thinking of our young men, thinking what happening at Mineral Point, it's all about what God can do with young people who will give themselves 100% to Jesus Christ. And so Brother Weber certainly represents that, and we're excited about what God's going to do. Come preach the Word of God.
Matthew chapter number 4 in your Bible. Mine got ran over by a truck the other day. Still works. Didn't lose a page. Got one little rip. It's got tire marks across the front. Fell off. I put it on top of the car. Man, don't they always tell you not to put stuff on top of the car? Put it on top of the car, put my daughter in, got her all plugged in, and got in the car. Or I ran around, got my son plugged in, and I got in the car, and then we took off, and we got on the freeway, and all of a sudden I heard this funny noise in the roof rack. Huh, that sounds weird, like a bird or something up there. I look in my rearview mirror and I see my Bible flying away. I'm like, oh, man. So we spun around, got it, and praise the Lord. I still preach out of it. That's good stuff, ain't it? Okay, good. Just make sure everybody's here. Amen. All right, good. Praise the Lord. You're all here tonight. Let's keep that out. All right. We're looking at planting in 4 years, we're looking at planting a new church. Pray with us that God will do some amazing things. Shawano in 4 years is going to be reproducing itself in the life of another town. We're burdened for Clintonville, which is about 25, 30 minutes south of Shawano, a town of 5,000 people. They don't have a gospel light. Reservation doesn't have an independent Baptist church, no gospel light there. So there's two churches that need to be planted. New London's a town of 8,000 people just south of Clintonville. 8,000 people. There's a very, very, very small dying work there. They could use a strong church to come in and help them. Mineral Point, obviously you guys are very burdened for that, and I appreciate that. Wisconsin is a very needy place. Very needy. And what it needs is Maguanago Baptist Church. And I'm going to preach to you tonight a message I've entitled Reaching Wisconsin out of Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to call everybody tonight to church planting in the state of Wisconsin because I believe that's what God is doing. And I don't believe God's calling pastors and evangelists and missionaries. I believe God's calling the average everyday person. And I believe that there's many in this room tonight who are struggling with God's plan for their life. And I'm going to encourage you very strongly that it's Wisconsin. That's what God's doing. Because I prayed for Wisconsin some years ago, and God gave me Wisconsin, and I'm trying to get as many people to come with me as I can. So you're in my sights tonight. So why don't you stand with me? We'll read this passage of Scripture here. We're in Matthew chapter number 4. We're going to read verses 17 down through verse 22. And this is an amazing little section of Scripture. I love this passage right here. And I read through this a couple months ago, and the Lord just stirred my heart about what He's doing in my life and what He wants to do in your life. And we'll hear verse 17. He says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He said unto them, 'Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. And going on from thence, He saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And He called them, and immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him." Wow. Reaching Wisconsin. I've got a real exciting message tonight. It's actually going to be really simple. I try to make them simple because that's the way my wife writes them, and that's easier for me to... We're going to preach on surrender tonight because the Christian life is a life of surrender. It starts with surrender, and it is every day a decision of surrender. And one day you will surrender the ghost. You'll give up the ghost and you won't have much choice in it. When God says your time is done, you'll be done. But the Christian life is a life of surrender. And surrender tonight is the issue, because if we're going to reach Wisconsin, if we are going to fulfill what God has called us to do, and I'm not saying us, Pastor Weber, Pastor Roberts, I'm saying us as a group of believers. Church, don't get it out of your mind, your mind's eye, that you have a responsibility today. And that's not to the world, that's to the Lord. You have a responsibility to the state of Wisconsin. This local church has a responsibility to the state of Wisconsin, and I want to help you to see that. And it is a matter of surrender, so I will call you to a decision tonight about surrendering to God's plan for your life. And whatever that may be, again, I will emphasize Wisconsin very strongly. But I want you to know tonight that today is a dark day. And I could give you a list of things. Honestly, I think politics is it's comical right now. Really, it is. It's like a comedy show out there. And it's just a spectacle. And it's a dark day, and it's a sick world. But it is an amazing day to be a Christian. An absolutely amazing day. The light will never shine brighter than it does today. Are you excited about it? You should be. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Now, Lord, reaching Wisconsin is on your heart today. There's something very unique about the state. I don't know what it is. At one point in time, it was called the graveyard of Baptist preachers, of evangelism, of Baptist churches. But I believe that it is the centerpiece of your heart in these days. And Lord, because there's a lot of souls who are steeped today in tradition, religion, atheism, whatever it is. They're steeped in sin. They're on their way to hell, and I believe that you died for everyone in the state of Wisconsin. And I believe tonight that you want to share with us a little bit about that. So I pray that you'd speak very clearly to hearts, that you'd help folks here tonight to see their need to get involved, to stop focusing on the things of the world, but to start focusing on you in these days. And I pray for our young people that are here tonight, that there be very clear decisions, about surrender to the ministry. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I'm going to ask a favor of somebody. If somebody could get me a glass of water or something, that'd be great. I forgot to grab one on my way up. Brother Ika, amen. And amen for Brother Ika. All right, good. Surrender. Surrender is the key. It's the issue of the hour. It is what God is calling His local churches to in these days. Surrender. Not to surrender our arms, drop the banner, but to lift up the banner higher. To let go more of the world and to embrace more of what Christ has for us. And I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I had to make a decision of surrender, didn't you? I had to surrender my way of getting to heaven and my thoughts and my ideas, and I had to lay those things down, and I had to turn wholly to Christ and fully trust in what He did. And at that point, I was saved. You know, when I came to Baptist College of Ministry, I had no desire to go there. You know, there's a lot of weird guys that go there, and, you know, they dress funny, and they talk funny, and they all look the same, and it's just kind of weird. And I didn't want to go there. I really didn't. No good evangelist comes out of that school anyway. So I wasn't going to go there. I was going to go where all the good evangelists go. And that was a different school. But anyway, I was at Camp Joy, and I went there on a deacon's retreat. I wasn't a deacon, but Pastor Mosier encouraged me to go, and there was a preacher there. It was Friday night, and he was just talking about devotions that night. And I thought, oh, this is a really weird message for a Friday night, devotions. And he said this phrase, and I thought it was funny. He says, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. Is that your devotional life? You just open up the Bible and you just kind of point and shoot, but you really don't hit anything? He says, why don't you pray tonight and ask God to show you something? Are you burdened about something in your life? Are you looking to make a decision about things in your life? What is God doing through this meeting? He was talking about all kinds of things, and I thought, yeah, I've got a problem. I need to know where I need to go to school. Thanks, brother. And I need to know where I need to go to school. And I said, Lord, for some odd reason, people want me to go to this school, and I feel like maybe I need to consider Baptist College of Ministry. I just don't know. So I opened up my Bible. I got to Deuteronomy chapter number 8, and I'm reading through Deuteronomy chapter number 8, and the Lord gives me a passage of Scripture, verses 7 through 11. Didn't understand it, but I just know He spoke to me. And you know what I did? I surrendered that day, and I went home, and I filled out the application for Baptist College of Ministry and never turned back. It was a decision of surrender. going to the pastorate in Iowa. Oh, man, who wants an easy job like a pastorate? Not me. I want something hard, something complicated. But going into a pastorate, that's too easy. I couldn't handle that. That's sarcastic, by the way. I learned quite the opposite. The pastorate is a very volatile place. It's a very spiritually charged dynamic. But it was a point of surrender because I was going to be an evangelist. We're going to travel the world. We got a trailer. No, we weren't going to do a trailer. I wanted a BMW anyway. So we were going to do it right, and we were going to have fun, and we're going to see all kinds of places. And the Lord's like, no, I want you to go to Iowa, down in the Cordon. You know, everybody knows where Cordon is, right? I think Jesus knows where Cordon is. That's about it, you know. And that's okay. It's right in the middle of the corn. But it was a decision of surrender. I just had to say, Lord, yes, this is what I need to do. I need to follow you. You're making it clear. This is what you want me to do. And that, when we're in Cordon, and that was the song. My wife says, you know, our song is going to be little as much when God is in it. And I appreciated that. I was thinking of Mineral Point tonight when we're singing little as much when God is in it. You know, Shano, little as much when God is in it. McGuanago. All these things and church planning and God began to work in our heart and he's telling us, you need to get back to Wisconsin, what I've called you to do, and you need to get up there. And I'm thinking, wait a second, I kind of like it down here in Cordon. They have big bucks. I mean, corn you can eat forever and ham as far as, I mean, wow. I mean, this is like heaven. The Lord said, no, you got to get back to Wisconsin. I'll tell you, it was a decision of surrender. I had to say, yes, Lord, I will go. When do you want me to leave? And he let us out right at the beginning of the year, and he let us out with this charge. I want you to go and plant 10 churches. And friends, I'm telling you, in all these situations, it was God using specific verses to speak to me about his will for my life. And what I'm asking from you as we get started here tonight, would you, just in your heart, would you say, Lord, would you use Matthew chapter number 4 in my heart tonight? Would you speak to me tonight? Would you help me to know your heart for my life? Is there something specific you're trying to tell me? I think we come into past services like this, and we get excited about maybe hearing a fresh speaker or some of those things, or maybe whatever your situation is, and we miss that God is speaking to us. And I don't want you to miss that tonight. I really don't. I appreciate you guys love the Webbers, and we sense that love, and we love you guys, and we really appreciate you. But if you put me in a different place tonight, and you miss what God has for you, you're the one missing out tonight, and I don't want that to happen. So would you pray tonight specifically about your part in reaching Wisconsin? Would you just in your heart, would you pray, Lord, talk to me tonight? Would you speak to me tonight? Whatever it is, I want to be a part of what you're doing in Wisconsin. I'm going to give you three simple, real simple points here tonight, but I want to get this point across as we go. Jesus is calling you to follow him in reaching Wisconsin. Not that he might be, not that he could be, he is calling you. If you're a Christian here tonight, you're on your way to heaven, you know for sure that you're saved, Jesus is speaking to you about reaching Wisconsin. And I want you to see some things here tonight. Let's go to our Bible. We're in verse number 18. I want you to see our first point here as we get started. Verse number 18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. I want you to see, number one, you are a key component in reaching Wisconsin. You are a key component in reaching Wisconsin. Key components are always key. You always need those things. You know, it's like getting out to your car and doing that number and thinking, man, what did I do with my keys? The key, you know, the key component to getting into your car, you need that. That's kind of vital to driving away. And to reaching Wisconsin and reaching Wisconsin, it's not that God can't do it without you, but he has chosen in his love and his mercy and his wisdom to use us. The church is living. It's alive. And there's a purpose for it. You know, and our purpose isn't just to sit here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and whatever else we gather together to have great Baptist buffets and hear pastor preach. That's just not the whole purpose. Now, that's part of what we're supposed to be doing, but that's not everything we're supposed to be doing. And you are key. And I want you to see here some things in our passage that I think will be helpful for all of us, because many of us have some preconceived notions about who is supposed to be reaching Wisconsin. Now, the people that are needed in reaching Wisconsin Are you the average everyday person? If we could say it this way, the blue-collar workers. You know, David. You think of David in the Bible, what do we think of? We think of the guy who, you know, had the sling and he killed Goliath. We think of the mighty man, the king, who led the children of Israel. But where did David come from? David was just a sheep herder. He was just a blue-collar worker. Church, don't miss where David came from. That's important. How about Nehemiah? You ever read Nehemiah? His part in seeing the walls of the Jerusalem rebuilt and all those things? Well, where did he come from? He was a career man, serving the king. He was a cupbearer. That's what he did. Don't think that these are some unique, these are people like you and me that had jobs, who did things. Okay? These people were craftsmen. They were bankers. They were men who were worked with their hands. They installed windows and put drywall on. They did roofs. These were men who built things, who did things with their hands. They were the average everyday worker. But they were also family business owners. I think of Abraham. You know, in the Bible, Abraham was a family business owner. He was a rich, wealthy man, but he was self-employed. Okay? And in our passage here, we see two brothers. Right here in verse 18, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting their net into the sea, for they were fishers. This is who they were. These guys weren't anything special. When you came across the town there of Galilee and you looked at Simon and you looked at Andrew, you know what you saw? Two fishermen. It's like going down to the gas station and seeing the big painting truck and two guys get out to go and get a can of soda. You see two painters. You see a guy driving down the road in his big John Deere, okay, and he's just coming out of the field. You know what you see? You see a farmer. If you were to go into Galilee that night, you know what you have seen? On the seashores, you would have saw two brothers who were fishers, blue-collar men, everyday workers. You would see sons. Look in verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. He called to them. And we see here sons working with or for their fathers, these family businesses going, these blue-collar men and women in the Bible. James and John, these were just amazing people. You know, I don't know why, because they wholly represent this group of people right here. You folks, average everyday workers, the kind of people who make the things happen all around us throughout this community. These are the kind of people that are needed in reaching Wisconsin. These are the kind of people. It's amazing what God did with these men, but let's go on here. The people that are needed in reaching Wisconsin are the ones that are most unlikely candidates, okay? Not the scholars, but the fishermen. Isn't it funny when you read through your Bible the interesting people who Jesus uses? Think of the maniac of Gadara. We've talked about that. I've been here and preached that message. Think of that guy, the guy that society cast away. The woman at the well, people who disregarded as a woman of ill repute. All the people, if you go down the list, even some of the disciples are people that you look at them and you think, really? He's going to use them? Jesus isn't looking for somebody, who is a scholar or somebody who is destined for the ministry. God is looking for the right person. And they're really the most unlikely candidates. He's looking for the people who are known for their trade. Look at these men. They were fishermen. They were not Bible scholars. They were not men that their family would have predestined them for ministry. The people that are most likely who spent all their life in the same trade. They were groomed from a young age, these men, probably, and again, I'm speaking just based on what I know of society and work and what these men were part of. They were groomed probably from a young age to take over the business. They were probably expected to live out their father's name in that business. There was an expectation upon them. I see that in our society today. Dad has a business, trains the kids to do it, and the expectation that the son will take it on. It's much in the farming realm. You see it in machining. You see it all over the place. This is nothing different than the things that we experience here today. These are people who all they had was their work. Okay? Their only source of income was their work. Their security in life was their work. And to walk away from what they had would have been financial and social suicide. Don't you think? Many of us think that, don't we? Have you ever thought to yourself, man, you know, God's talked to me before. Preachers are here about surrender, about a call to ministry. But to walk away from my job, it's like financial suicide. I can't do it. I just can't do it. Do you know that all people, no matter what their situation is, who go into ministry, ask questions about things like what you're thinking right now? How's this going to happen? How is this going to work? I remember church planning, leave the pastorate, I get a steady paycheck, going to church planning. How am I going to get paid? Hey, where are we going to live? I don't know when my next paycheck's coming in. I don't know where we're going to live. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. How is this all going to work, Lord? How is this going to work? You know, when people go into the ministry, they don't go in because there's this great security that everything's going to work out. They go in because God says, follow me. And they're saying, yes, sir. So if you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, well, you know, I can't really do that. I've got this situation over here and, you know, I'm financially kind of tied up here. And really to step away from that is financial suicide. Let's look at the example of these men. These were men who were known for their trade, who lived and died by fishing, probably providing for their family. The security of their life was wrapped up in what they did. And yet these men, they walked away and walked right with God. And I think it's an amazing. The identity of these men was shaped by the object of their security. You know, if you were to ask in town in Galilee, you know, who's Simon, who's Andrew, who's James and John, you found out, those guys, they're the fishermen. These men whose identity was wrapped up in their work, their blue-collar work, were the key components to getting the gospel to you. You know, their obedience to the Lord in Matthew chapter number 4 had a great impact on you being here today. You, and like these men, are key components in gospel ministry in the state of Wisconsin. Just think about it today. How many people in the state of Wisconsin are depending upon you to reach them? But yet we sit back and we think, no, I can't step out. I can't take that step of faith. I can't do that thing. I know God's poking at my heart. I know He's calling me to go. I know He's calling me to do something, but I just can't. I can't do that. I'm not a preacher. I'm a blank, and you say the word. That's who I am. So don't be blinded tonight in any way, shape, or form and think this. If I don't go, God in His mercy will send somebody else. Don't think that. That's a lie. And I'm not saying God won't have mercy on those people. But tonight, God is calling you to step out by faith and do something. Don't think He'll bring somebody else along. Your situation is no different than these men. They had real decisions to make. They had the kind of decisions that would alter the kind of life they would live. The kind of people they hung around with. The activities they got involved in. Think about it. Jesus is passing by. He calls out to them to come. How many questions does the Bible record that they asked? Where are we going? How much am I going to get paid? How am I going to care for my family? How many questions do we have? These guys looked at Jesus and said, yep, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm just going. They may have not seen how vital their role was in the gospel, but we can see today that they were key components. And just like you, you're a key component. You may not understand today how vital your role is in the life of somebody, maybe in Shawnee, maybe in Mineral Point, maybe somewhere else, like the town of Finchburg, 26,000 people, not an independent Baptist church preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, 26,000 people. How about South Milwaukee, Cudahy? I think that's around 60,000 people just in those two towns. Not one person knocking doors. Nowhere. How vital is your role today? You think 108 people go into eternity every minute. Every minute, 108 people. Before we're done here tonight, over 4,000 people have gone into eternity, and how many into hell? Because we're not responding to the call of God. Number two, Jesus is calling you to follow him to Wisconsin. Jesus is calling you to follow him. Verse number 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And God's call to you is follow me, which means come behind, which means submit, okay? It doesn't mean, here, let me show you, okay, God, you want me to go to Wisconsin? That sounds good. Let me tell you how we're going to get this done. And you jump in front of the Lord and you start marching off your way. No. When he says follow me, that means get behind me and let me lead you to where you're going. He's saying, let me be your guide. Let me be your leader. Let me be your God. That's what he's asking for you to do tonight. And what he's asking you to do when he says, follow me, he's saying to you, stop telling me why you cannot go. Stop telling me why you will not go. See, because we spend more time telling Jesus what we cannot or what we will not do instead of just following him. I think the example here in this passage of Scripture of these men, they hear the call of God, they stop what they're doing, and they immediately follow Jesus Christ is a great example for all of us to follow. I think parents, if we're training our kids for immediate obedience every time, I think we need to take heed to some of these passages of Scripture and start doing it ourselves. I think we'd have an easier time training our kids if we ourselves did it, don't you? Following Jesus means forsaking everything. These guys didn't hold on to the nets. They didn't take their fishing lures with them. You know, they didn't ask about, what about dad? What about the business? They didn't ask about the securities or the activities because they took heed to the reality that, so likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And these men wanted to follow and hold on to Jesus more than they wanted to follow and hold on to the world. And I think it is not a bad call today. I think it is the call. Wholly follow Jesus. Forsake everything. I think we need a radical surrender here in our lives. Radical surrender. People who are willing to leave everything, walk away from everything, and wholly give themselves to Jesus Christ. I think that if Apostle Paul walked into this church, that we would shun him because we would think he was weird and crazy. We look at all the bright things about him, but he was radically surrendered to Jesus Christ. He would go at the drop of a hat and he would do whatever God wanted him to do. And I think that would make us all very uncomfortable. We need to be done with this idea that Jesus is okay with partial surrender. Jesus is calling him to follow, calling his people to follow him wholly. And Jesus deals with our Saul and Samuel when God's dealing with them, and he says, no, it's only partial surrender. I'm only going to partially do what God wants me to do. And, you know, the people, they did the other thing. And Samuel said, no, that's rebellion. You didn't do everything that God told you to do. You should have dealt wholly with the list that I told you. You get rid of everybody. Don't save anything. Not for any reason. And he said it's rebellion. It's like the sin of witchcraft. It's like serving Satan. And church, you've got to understand here tonight, when we only partially give ourselves to the work of God, it's rebellion. Are you all in for what God wants for you to do? No man can serve two masters. He will either hold to the one, or hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. But you cannot serve God and mammon. How many of us try to serve God and mammon? You cannot do it. Listen, young people, it will never work. You will not be the first to serve God with half your heart and money and the world and the things of this world with the other half. It will never happen. Because it's the Bible says it will not happen. No man, not even you, can serve two masters. And so this is the reality. Dad, you've got to reckon this truth. Are you serving God or are you serving something else? How about it, young person? We're here tonight because, we're getting started with your teen camp out and we're burdened not just for the state of Wisconsin, but your involvement in the state of Wisconsin. Are you serving your dreams and your ideas and your aspirations? What you want to do, where you want to go, the money you want to make? Or are you serving God? Don't you think God can provide for you? Don't you think he can give you everything that you need? Don't you think he can equip you and design a life and prepare a life for you that is greater than anything this world has to offer? I think so. Jesus is the leader of your life, or he's not. Period. And that's just the way it works. I'm sorry to be so black and white here tonight, but Jesus is calling people to follow him. And if we don't get it in our hearts that, and we have to make decisions, and this is not just a once in a lifetime decision, this is an everyday decision. Am I going to serve myself, or am I going to serve God? God's got a plan for my life today. He's got people he wants me to touch, and my family he wants me to reach and pray for. Am I going to serve myself, or am I going to serve God? Am I going to follow him? God's promise to you is really simple here. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I, Jesus, that's him. I will make you. And does Jesus ever lie? He never lies and he can't lie. So if we look at this passage of scripture and say, but if I follow him, you know, it's never going to work out. I'm never going to get there. And it's just I can't see how it's going to work. Then you're looking at the Bible and you're saying, God's a liar. Because the whole idea here of make is to equip, provide, to care for you. You know, if I surrender, you know, God's going to send me to Africa. And I'm not equipped for Africa and I just can't do it. You can go anywhere God wants to send you. And I wouldn't worry about Africa. Africa's an amazing place. I get worried about getting sent to Wisconsin. I think it's worse here than it is there. You know, you can pass out a gospel tract here and just about get, you know, punched in the face. But the places I've been in Africa, you pass out a gospel tract, a lot, Pete, they come to you. What is this? What are you talking about, Jesus? I want to know more about this. Well, that's exciting. Well, that's exciting. He says, I will equip you. I will make you. The idea of something new. He took fishermen and he made them disciples. Wow, what a career change. The future tense here has the idea that God will be transforming your life as you take steps under his leadership of moving forward. See, a lot of people, they get this idea that, if Jesus will do some things in my life, then I will do this. Well, you got it wrong. That's not how it works. It really, you can make this an if-then statement. If you follow Jesus Christ, then he will make you a fisher of men. If you follow him, then he will do this. That's how the phrasing is there. So really what we're talking about here is if you would surrender your life to Jesus Christ instead of giving him excuses why you won't, if you would surrender to him, then he will start doing things for you. But he won't do those things until you surrender, until you follow him, until you say, yes, Lord, until you humble yourself and come to him and say, oh, I'm so sorry. I put all these things in front of you. I've got all these idols. And Lord, I'm casting them out, putting them in the trash pile, and I'm coming holy to you. You know, tonight, I don't want you to come to the altar tonight, and I don't want you to ask God to make you a fisher of men, because he won't do it. I want you to come to the altar tonight, and I want you to ask God to forgive you not following him, for not letting him be the leader of your life, for not making him your guide, for not making him your God, for using all the excuses in the world for why you will not and why you won't. That's what I want you to come to the altar for tonight. And when that happens, then he will make you a fisher of men. You know, a fisher of men is somebody who is a person focused. They're somebody who is God focused. They're a person who cares more about the people around him. You know, think of my son and my wife. I was sitting in the ER when we were, me and my son and my wife, we went up to Eagle River with my mom. And the day earlier, me and my son were in the ER because we thought we were sick. We probably were. My son had to get some antibiotics. So we're sitting in the waiting room. And there's just a handful of people in there, and we're sitting there, and my son's kind of playing around, and he's kind of looking around. And he goes, Dad, that guy doesn't know about Jesus. Give him a track. What? How dare you interrupt my time of being in the ER with some spiritual challenge? Can't I just sit here? Oh, man, my three-year-old son dealing with me about getting... You give him a track. That was spiritual, wasn't it? You give him a track. It's like, no. You give him a track. Now we're arguing, and here's this guy sitting right here. I'm arguing with a three-year-old who's not even saved about giving this guy a track. And he's like, fine, fine. So he walks over and throws a track on the chair next to him. So the guy gets up, doesn't even see the track, goes in the back room. Here's this other lady sitting over here, obviously not doing very well. He's looking around. I was like, dude, he didn't get the tract. You might as well go pick it up. He's like, okay. So he goes over there, picks up the tract. He goes, Dad, she doesn't know Jesus. Give her a tract. I'm like, unbelievable. You give her a tract. No, it's over. I am not spiritual. I am not doing well. And I'm... God in his mercy, after we left that ER, met that man at the Walgreens. And I gave him a tract, was able to talk to him about the Lord. And he says, I'm glad you talked with me. He's like, I'm going through some hard things, and I needed this. Person-focused. People-focused. We go into stores. We go in to get our stuff. We go to the gas station. We're going to get, for me, for my stuff, my things, my stuff, all the time. You know what a soul winner is? A fisher of men. They're somebody who's winning souls. They're more focused on God, doing His will, and reaching people than they are on anybody else. And those people are sold out to Jesus. They've given all on the altar. They're giving all to Jesus. It's the other people that we're talking about tonight that they haven't given all. They're not soul conscious. They're not community changers. They're not true disciples. Those people, if you're kind of that kind of person, there's an altar here tonight for you. And God's saying, come to me. I want to make you a fisher of men. But you got to get rid of the junk that's in the way. Whatever's between you and Him, friend, you've got to get rid of it. Jesus is calling you to follow Him to Wisconsin. Wisconsin needs you tonight. Drug and alcohol abuse rates are skyrocketing. Death rates, drug death rates have doubled in the last 10 years statewide, if not tripled. Broken homes are the normal. Tradition and religion are holding people hostage. The cities, like I mentioned, the cities of needs, Clintonville, Menominee Nation, the New London, Finchburg, Cudahy, South Milwaukee, all these places are just ripe and ready for harvest. What are we waiting for? Not only are you a key component, but God's calling you. He's saying, look at the harvest. Look at the fields. They're white. What do you mean they're white? We still got a few months. They just tasseled. It's not ready to harvest yet. Jesus is saying, no, look. Look all around you. Homes broken. Kids hurting. They need help. Why can't you give somebody a tract? Why can't you give the guy who looks like he's, you know, two steps from death's door and he's listening to the music that goes right along? Why can't you give him a gospel tract? Why can't you love people enough like Jesus did to go over and for 2 seconds get outside of your comfort zone and just give a gospel tract to somebody? What a shameful thing it is today when we get so wrapped up in ourselves that we can't just simply step out and love somebody. Think about our neighbors. People are dying all around us. He'll equip you, church. You take one step and He'll part that water. I guarantee it. I know He will. He says He promises to do it. Let me give you my third point here and then we'll be done. Your response will have great impact on Wisconsin. You'll note here in verse number 20, it says that they straightway left their nets and followed Him. In verse number 22, and they immediately left their ship and their father and followed Him. The biblical response to Jesus' call is simple. Straightway leave your nets. Immediately. Get to it! You know, when I'm working with my son or with people in my life and, you know, there's development or there's training or there's elements of things that need to get done, I'm not waiting for delayed reaction. I'm looking for immediate connection, immediate response. And that's what Jesus is looking for here today. He's looking for somebody to leave their nets and follow Him. I like BDAG kind of had the idea there to leave something lying without concerning oneself further with it. That's the whole idea of immediately or straightway leaving their nets. The left was the action in response to God's voice. It's kind of like he had that net and then they took it and then they just threw it out. And they didn't watch to see how it fell to make sure it fell in a nice neat pile. They threw it and they turned their back and they went straight to Him. Straightway here, Jesus, what Jesus did for you when you got saved, think about it for a second. Straightway, immediately, when you, in God's love and mercy, when He was convicting your heart about your need of salvation, and you cried out for Jesus to wash away your sins, how long did it take? Immediately. It's done. Your name was written down in heaven. Immediately. In the response of Jesus to rescue you from danger, think of Simon when he's out there and he's walking on water. And before he knows it, he gets caught up in what's going on around him. He drops into the water. And what does he do? He cries out for help. How long did it take for Jesus? Did Jesus want to say, I wonder how long he can hold his breath? Ooh, this will be fun. No. Immediately, there was the hand. You know how Jesus responds to us when we cry out to him for help? Now, Jesus is crying out and he's saying, help me reach Wisconsin. What are you going to do? I wonder how long he can cry out for. I wonder how long he's going to do it. I mean, it'd just be fun to kind of see how long he's going to just keep crying out for help. Jesus is calling you to make an immediate decision. As a church body, we need to straightway leave the nets that are hindering us from accomplishing God's will and follow him. And I don't know what that net is for you here tonight. I don't know what it is. I don't know. And I'm not going to start naming nets here because I could, but I'm not going to. You know, how can we say that we're completing the Great Commission when our own area, our own region is still in reach? You know, you don't have to go to Africa to reach unreached people groups. You can reach them right here in the state of Wisconsin. You can go to towns where they've never once had their door knocked on. That's an unreached people right there. They're all over the state of Wisconsin. How can we say that we're doing all for the gospel when we are not effectively planting churches in our state? You say, well, that's not my problem, Pastor. I just go to church here. I'm just a churchgoer. You know, in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1, I told Pastor I was going to bring up this verse because it's funny if you read it right. It's just funny. You look at it and it talks about they are all scattered abroad because of the persecution of Stephen, except for the apostles. And I heard, I think it was Earl Jessup said that Josephus said by Acts chapter 8, there was 125,000 people in that church there in Jerusalem. Every one of them were scattered abroad. Did you hear that? They were all scattered abroad, except for the apostles. Let me give you an idea of what that would be like. Persecution breaks out in Maguanago. Maguanago Baptist Church, everybody disperses. Except for on Sunday morning, pastor comes in and the staff, and that's it. Everybody else is gone. You all disperse. Everybody, gone. So pastor comes in to preach. He's only got, you know, his staff and whoever the staff is, Phil. Him and Phil hanging out. That's it. That's all who showed up for church that day. Okay? So how can we say that we're doing all for the gospel when we are not out planting churches? And you say, well, wait a second. Where did those people go? Well, read Acts chapter number 11. A whole bunch of them went to Antioch. What were they doing there? Preaching the word of God, seeing people saved. And you know what happened? A church got planted. Just read the Bible. It's amazing what you'll find in there. And you'll find that it's the normal, everyday people that God's using to plant churches. You know, you don't need a Bible degree to plant a church. You need a Bible. And you need the God of heaven on your side. And you just need to get out and talk to people. And you'll be amazed at what God will do. How can we be so convinced that God can do miracles on the other side of the world, but we have no vision for God's miracle-working hand in our own area? You know, what about the miracles that we need to see at Mineral Point? Who believes God's going to do a miracle there? Who's praying that way? And now if you're praying that way and you're believing that way, why are you not there seeing it happen? Your faith needs to be put to action, otherwise it's dead. Where are those who are so convinced and surrendered in a heavenly plan for church planting in Wisconsin that they'll do something about it? That's what I'm asking here tonight. Who are so burdened for God's plan for their life, God's plan for the state of Wisconsin, that they're willing to stand up and do something? You know, we can turn on the radio and listen to all the talk shows, the Christian talk shows that are ho-hum about our president, they're ho-hum about our world, all what the Supreme Court is doing. Oh, it's such an injustice. Where is that in the Bible? When do we see the disciples getting together for a pity party about what Rome was doing? You know, if you're listening to radio today that glorify the Bible, turn it off. If they're complaining about your president and they're not leading you to pray for him, it's against the Bible. If they're leading you to complain about what's going on in society instead of giving you a burden to reach society, turn it off. That's not feeding you. We had to turn off the radio the other day. I was like, honey, I can't listen to this. I don't necessarily agree with everything that politicians do, but the Bible tells me to pray for my pastor or pray for my president, not to complain about him. You know, I don't like him. Okay, he's not my friend. I really don't know the guy, but I have a Christian obligation to pray for that man and not to complain about him. You know, complaining in the Bible is a sin. And we spend so much time complaining and whining about what's happening in this world instead of saying, God, you're amazing and you're doing amazing things in my life and I need to shed off this world. We hold on to the world and we pretend like God can't hear us. And we say, no, I don't want to do these things and I'm not going to do that. And we never let God use the life that He died for on the cross. We never let Him use it. And we're content to go to heaven with nothing in our hands. Tonight you will either leave your net and follow Jesus or you won't, but you will make a choice. You will make a choice. The choice is yours to make. And I'm just crying out for you. I know this is a strong encouragement tonight, but I'm pleading with you tonight. Maguanago needs you to surrender. Wisconsin needs you to surrender. Shawano needs you to surrender. Mineral Point needs you to surrender. I'm going to conclude with this. I know I've mentioned this the last time I was here, but I'm just burdened tonight to share that testimony of my friend Dave. He called me quite a few months ago, last fall, shared with me that he was burdened about his family. Shared with me that he was burdened about God doing something more in his life than what he had. And he's a car salesman. He makes a very good amount of money. He's got a good wife, Christian wife, good kids. He's a head deacon in the church. Involved in the ministry, and he's just saying, I know God's doing something in my heart. I don't know what it is. Would you pray for me? About the same time, we began to pray for Shawano and church planning and these different things. I said, brother, pray for church planning. I said, maybe God would lead you to come help us. I kind of threw it out there. Always looking for help. You never know. And for the next few months, we conversate back and forth. He said, you know what? I'm going to pray about that. Maybe. Maybe the Lord would lead us up there. I'm like, hey, man, you can get a job anywhere. Don't be held down by a job. You can sell cars anywhere. And he calls me some months later. We're getting ready. We're planning our move and our everything. And I think it was later November. And he calls me on the phone. He says, hey, brother. He says, man, I've got great news. I got a call today about a job opportunity down in Chicago. Six figures, two cars. What? He goes, yeah, I've been praying for God to show me His will. And got this job offer. Six figures. Two brand new cars. Oh. About melted. I was like, no, it's not it. It wasn't God. I knew it wasn't God. He said, so I prayed about it. I was like, yeah? And he said, God showed me two paths. One of serving God and one of serving money. And he says, my family doesn't need money. They need Jesus. He's like, so I got my answer. I was like, yeah, what's that? He said, we're moving to Shawano. My buddy Dave and Joy, they're up there right now. They're waiting for us. They moved up there a month ago. He walked away from, at that time, was a very lucrative job. Walked into another job, was an absolute disaster. Absolute disaster. And he calls me every day, pray for me, brother. I said, I am. He said, we're going to see this church get started. We're not going to compromise. Pastor, you'd love this guy. You're not compromising on the music. I'm going to hold your feet to the fire on preaching. He said, we're going to see this thing happen. You know what he was? An average, everyday worker. Blue-collar man. God said, follow me. And he looked around and said, yep. Left his nets, and he followed Jesus. You see, Jesus, verse 17, says he's calling men everywhere. He's calling, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he's calling this church tonight, repent of your ideas and your concepts in your life, and follow me. Repent. Have you used your life situation as excuse not to surrender to God's call, God's leading in your life? Hey, I'm too young, Pastor Weber. I'm just a teenager. I've got too much life in front of me. No. You know, when I made decisions that shaped my life, they were at 12 years old. I'll never forget. When the day I decided to start drinking alcohol, it was a life-shaping moment. You sit around here thinking that you've got all day to make decisions. No. Every day you say no, you're making a decision. And it's a life-shaping decision. You don't understand. I didn't come from a good godly family. I don't have the heritage. We don't have the money. It doesn't matter. Don't make excuses. It doesn't matter where you come from. I didn't come from a godly home. I came out of drugs and alcohol. I didn't have any money. I was $40,000 in debt when Jesus saved me. He took care of it in 1 year. He's got enough money, doesn't he? Didn't we sing about that tonight? I think he's got plenty of it. You know, are you experiencing the promised response of God tonight? Is he making you a fisher of men? Is he molding and shaping your life to be a kingdom changer, a community changer? Are you impacting your neighbors? You know, this very night, you need to leave your net and follow Jesus. You do! Jesus is calling farmers. You know, guys like Ed Nelson, Tom Needham. You know, he's calling doctors like Tom Johnson. He's calling drug addicts like Matt Weber. He's calling car salesmen like Dave Dion. He's calling the average, everyday worker just like you to walk away from whatever's hindering you from following him. Is God calling you or your family tonight to church planting? That's between you and God. But if he's doing something in your heart, the pastor's going to be here at the front. Don't you make any decisions without talking to your pastor. You come to your pastor tonight and say, God's doing something in my heart. I need to talk to you. I need to tell you what God's doing in my heart. And let your pastor lead you through that time. Reaching Wisconsin will only happen when you act upon Jesus' call to follow him, because he is calling. The question is, are you responding? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to gather together with my friends tonight. Thank you for just the burden in my heart. I just got freedom that you are doing amazing things, and I thank you because I feel like you delivered the burden tonight. And I just pray, Lord, there's some key decisions that need to happen here tonight. And I don't know who they are or what they are, but you do. And I just pray that you'd have your will and your way tonight to be accomplished in every heart and every life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. You'd say, Pastor Weber, I've been using excuses tonight for the past years, whatever that is. But I haven't been doing God's will for my life. I haven't surrendered because I've been using excuses. And I'm just asking, God's been dealing with me tonight very strongly by the uplifted hand. Would you say, pray for me, Pastor Weber? Is anybody like that? I see a hand. Yes. All over. You may put those down. I've been using the excuse that I'm too young. I don't need to make the decision yet. Pastor Weber, would you pray for me? I know I'm not too young. God's been talking to me very specifically. Uplifted hand, would you pray for me? I know I'm not too young. I need to make a decision. I see many hands. Yes. Yes. Amen. I'm just a worker man, Pastor Weber. I didn't come here for this tonight. I'm just a mechanic. I'm just a drywaller. I'm just a painter. I'm just a roofer. I'm just a farmer. I didn't come here for this tonight, but God's doing something in my heart. And would you please pray for me? Would you please pray for me? Uplifted hand. Yes, I see that hand in the back. Yes, on this side. Yes, and on the left, I see those. Very good. You'd say tonight, Pastor Weber, I came here tonight, maybe your first time or you've been visiting, but I don't know for sure that I quite understand what it means to be a Christian. I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not 100% for certain that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I don't know what it's like to talk to Jesus, much less follow him. Would you pray for me when you pray for the others that you're praying for tonight by the uplifted hand? Would you say, pray for me, Pastor Weber? I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Okay. Anyone else? Yes. In the back. Now, Lord, I see hands here tonight, and I know you see even greater. I can only look on the outward, but you see what's happening in the hearts of these many, many, many young people, and even a few dads who've raised their hand tonight. Lord, I'm pleading, would you do a changing work here tonight in these hearts, these young people? Give us a godly generation who will love and serve you with all their hearts. I pray for every one of these decisions that need to be made tonight. Lord, would it be a thorough work? Would it be a whole surrender? Nothing partial here tonight. Pray for the dads, Lord. They lead their families to victory here tonight in a very real way. Lord, give us Wisconsin. Give us more churches who will lift you up so you can draw all men to yourself. Lord, beyond Shano, give us many. Give us church planters here tonight and pastors who will come and take those churches and lead them into 30-plus years of victory like Pastor Roberts. Give us men and women who will wholly follow you. In Jesus' name.